Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
They've lost their minds. They really have. The Dems lined up to move the All-Star game out of Georgia, and in doing so, they only harmed the Democrats in their state. Atlanta, the city of Atlanta, is as blue as it gets, and they just lost $100 million to their economy because of a statewide voter ID law? Are these people really this dumb? Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas says he'll take the game here in Kansas City. No, you won't. Voter ID's coming to Missouri as well, and he can't stop that. So what's Mayor Q and other people like him cheering for? Does Mayor Q want the NCAA to pull out of Kansas City? Or how about conventions? Man, these people are just not as smart as they think they are. The Royals opened the season by winning 2 out of 3. But if the starting pitching doesn't get better, it's going to be a long, long year. KC has fallen behind 4, 5, and 6 runs in the first 3 games, and somehow they won 2 of them. It can't hold up. We'll discuss. If you haven't seen or heard of Shohei Ohtani of the Angels, you will. He did something Sunday night that's never been done before. Absolutely incredible. Why did the University of Kansas give Bill Self a lifetime contract? I've got some thoughts on what's really going on here with team turmoil. It's Masters Week, so don't call or text me on Sunday afternoon because I won't respond. I love this event in Georgia about 1,000 times more than I like the All-Star game. And if Jordan Spieth keeps playing well, he won this past weekend, we could see some crazy drama on that back nine again. Actor Jason Sudeikis wins a big award for his TV show, and he thanks everyone from Kansas City, where he was raised. But it's the $1,100 sweater he was wearing that has everyone buzzing. It's all ahead on KKHI, brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. I'm a customer of Roberts Robinson. I've ordered a new Chevy Blazer through Roberts Robinson. They're having it built, which is a great way to get your new car. If you're looking for a GM product, there is no easier way than getting on the phone or visiting with them at Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. They get you on the computer. You say, I want this, this, this. I don't want this, this, and this. Boom, it's done. It's the lowest price. They show you exactly what their cost is. It's so easy at Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC. And I now know, because with Chevrolet, I'm finding a new road. I like it. Elite Automation and EliteAutomate.com, the website. Elite Energy is the consulting arm of Elite Automation. What Elite Energy does is they come to your business and they see where you spend all your money on your energy. Maybe it's this big machinery over here. Maybe it's your HVAC system, whatever it is. They consult with you on when to run things and how often. And when they do that, it saves you a bunch of money. It's a free service. It's absolutely free. It's a free service. When you save money, you share what you save with them. That's pretty cool. You want to find out more? Call Brad or one of the team members at Elite Automation, a great Kansas City company. 913-766-2188. That's 766-2188. Online at EliteAutomate.com. And BStock.net, the only way to buy electronics. B as in boy, BStock.net. Chris over BStock has let me know the 2020 models got to go. The 2021s are all coming in right now. And that means the 2020s have to go. These are brand new televisions, okay? There's now a function on the website called Make Offer. While they usually don't offer lower prices on most of their televisions and whatnot than what they've already got them listed at, these got to go. And they got a bunch of them. So there's a Make Offer function right now at bstock.net. Now, they're not going to take anything lower on a $249 50-inch Samsung, which is amazing. 50-inch TU7000 Samsung TV for $249. At bstock.net. But if you're interested in the mid or the higher end TVs, right now is the time to deal at bstock.net or visit them at 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. Okay, the Dems have moved the All-Star game out of the state of Georgia, but all they did was cost the blue city of Atlanta $100 million. What a bunch of fools. Hit it!
Back 9 Development is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Online at back9development.com.
Major League Baseball season is underway and a lot of noise is being made on a lot of different fronts. We will start with the Kansas City Royals taking 2 out of 3 to start the year against the Texas Rangers, one of the worst teams in baseball. And the fun in the first 2 games of the Royals' bats and the offense just lighting it up. I think they came into game 3 of the season as a team hitting 390 or something crazy like that. So it's been fun to watch the Royals' bats, not enough on Sunday as they lose 7-3 in the finale of the series. And we've spent a great deal of time in the instant reaction from opening day, and then we saw the second game, and we've talked about the Royals' bats and the Royals' lineup. We haven't spent as much time talking about the pitching, and I'm going to come away, even though the Royals win 2 out of 3, I come away from the weekend disappointed, for sure. I'm disappointed in the starting pitching. I just did not. It's early. It's one turn. It's one start for 3 different pitchers, but it was, and Minor was okay. He was a grinder. He was able to eat up some innings, which is kind of what he is, but you have to be disappointed with the Royals falling behind in all 3 of these games in big ways. I mean, you can't keep playing baseball games with bad starting pitching, falling behind 3 runs, 4 runs, 5 runs, and expect to win a bunch of games and be any kind of a contender. So it's a small slice, a small piece of the season. And it maybe is a little bit unfair because Brad Keller, I think, is an established commodity. But I was not as disappointed in Keller. He just looked like he was amped up, throwing too hard. It was his second opening day start, so he probably shouldn't have been that way. But he's going to be, I think Brad Keller's going to be fine. My biggest disappointment of opening weekend is Brady Singer. And I know that's heaping a lot on a 24-year-old starting pitcher who's entering his first full season in the big leagues. That's a little much, but I think the Royals have him in the rotation for a reason. I think they see him as, you know, Daniel Lynch is 24. There's other guys in the minor leagues that are his age, and he's the one here in the rotation. And we saw so many absolute gems last year. And one of the things I started thinking as I was watching Singer pitch on Sunday, he gave up a big home run and at times was fighting it a little bit. As I was watching this, I started creeping in the back of my mind was, okay, how much can we judge last year considering it was a short season in COVID? We talked a lot in other sports about chalking up 2020 as the year of COVID, and we can't really, you know, you shouldn't maybe be firing your coach or, you know, blaming this or blaming that because it was just a very strange year for everyone. And of all the really great things we saw about Singer, I got to be honest, it's sort of entered my mind, oh boy, I hope we didn't get too excited too fast about Brady Singer, which I, like a lot of baseball fans, I'm that way. It's a different sport. It's not basketball or football where you watch him play, you know, every other night in basketball and you can watch a guy score consistently and say, wow, that guy can play. It's not football where you're judging a quarterback or a running back or a skill position player and you just consistently see them, you know, doing high-level things right away. Pitching is different. There are good starts. There are bad starts. You got to wait 5 days in between them. It takes a serious amount of time to judge a starting pitcher on what they're doing for your team. So I know that this isn't particularly fair to even bring up one start into the year for the first 3 pitchers the Royals trot out there. But again, this was not a high-powered lineup. This is a bad baseball team the Royals were playing. The starting pitching was every bit a disappointment. I mean, it's a bad sign. If they don't correct that, we're wasting our time talking about anything else because as bad as the Royals' starting pitching was and falling behind in those games, winning 2 out of 3 is a miracle. It's just a miracle. It speaks to the Rangers' ridiculously awful bullpen, and the Royals have a pretty good lineup. I don't think the Royals have the best lineup in baseball. They've got a pretty good lineup. I think the Royals can score some runs. They were mostly frustrated all day Sunday. Several shutout innings. The Royals only scratched out a couple of hits at that point, but they got 3 on the board. They wind up with 8 hits. Some guys save their day, which is what professional big league hitters do. It's a little talked about part of Major League Baseball. A lot of times you kind of know your beat. Now, the Royals didn't do that on opening day, but it's different being down 6 runs in the 7th inning or 6th or 7th inning or being down 5 runs in the 1st. There's a difference. And a lot of guys that are 0 for 3, they know one thing. If you're a Major League Baseball player, you play baseball for a living. And it is a big difference, even in a loss, if you're 0 for 3, to get that 4th at bat and get a base hit and go 1 for 4. That's how guys hit 290 or 300. That literally is how you do it. It's not the big days. There's days where everybody hits. We saw that opening day. There's days where everybody hits, and there's days where the opposing, you know, pitcher goes 7 innings, they turn it over to their top 2 stud relievers, and you walk away with 1 run on 4 hits as a team, and you didn't have a very good day. There's days like that. Plenty of days like that. It's the days in between where you try to scratch out those hits and you do something personally for yourself. And the Royals were kind of caught in that zone on Sunday. They win 2 out of 3 as they head to Cleveland for opening day. I'm looking forward to opening day for the Rangers to see what that looks like. This Joe Biden baseball stuff really has surprised me. Biden's upset that the Texas Rangers are going to have a full house for their opener on Monday. I'm excited for the Texas Rangers to have a full house. I think it's great. If people don't want to go, they don't have to go. I mean, we're getting back to the principles of what make our country great. You don't have to go to the baseball game. If you don't like the fact there's going to be 40,000 people there, stay away. That's easy. Don't work there. Whatever the case may be. You get to make your choice. So Biden's all butthurt on this thing, you know, that the Rangers are going to be filling it up and he thinks it's unwise and they shouldn't be doing this and shouldn't be doing that. Man, I'm telling you, the second Biden inserted himself into baseball, all hell broke loose. I thought literally last week it was a joke when I heard Tony Clark, the players union leader, say, we think the All-Star game should be moved out of Georgia because of the voter ID law. I thought it was a joke. I did. And then Biden commented on it. They rigged it. They got him on ESPN and they asked him about it. And he said, oh, I'd support the players if they didn't want it. Well, this isn't the players. This is not the players doing this. There's no outcry from the players. There's conservatives in baseball all over the place. They don't care. They couldn't care less about the Georgia. Heck, half the players in baseball can't vote. I mean, this is ridiculous. It's not about the players union. So the players union gets inserted in this. And the leader of the players union is a black man. And we clearly know his politics because he wanted out of this thing. And I don't think he represents or speaks for his players. And I'll bet he's getting some feedback from some of his players that, hey, this is a joke, man. This is a joke. If I go to a Royals game, if I go to a Braves game, if I go anywhere, if I go to any baseball game and pick up my tickets at the stadium, I go to the window, you get courtesy tickets. You call the Royals. If you're in the media, whatever, they give you courtesy tickets sometimes. Or you're the family, you're the friends. A lot of these are on your phone now, but they still have a will call window. If you go to the will call window at any major league park, they will ask you for what? Oh, they want to see your ID. Yes, they do. Major League Baseball teams require an ID. They certainly do. And we suspect that the same people that wanted the baseball game moved out of Georgia are the same people that want you to have a vaccine passport with identification on it. I mean, this whole thing is such a complete scam and joke. Atlanta's going to lose $100 million. And Quentin Lucas is running around, you know, saying, hey, we'll take it in Kansas City. Well, no, you won't take it in Kansas City because Missouri's going to have a voter ID law. I mean, Quentin Lucas sometimes just baffles me with the lack of thought that he puts into his words. I mean, I know he's a smart guy, Ivy League, the whole deal, he's a smart guy. But he's clearly not thinking. He says, we'll take it here in Kansas City. Well, no, you won't. As the mayor of Kansas City, you're not the governor of the state. You're not a senator. You have no state business whatsoever. Quentin Lucas' business is Kansas City, Missouri, period. The municipality, the city. That's his business. And if he was really looking out for his city, he would be saying this is an outrage to punish Atlanta for something the state of Georgia has done. The city of Atlanta, which is liberal, very liberal. The city of Atlanta is losing $100 million in economic gain by losing the All-Star game. That's the projection here. $100 million, Atlanta, the Democrat municipality of Atlanta, Georgia, lost because of a state law. If we really had leaders on the left, they would occasionally not be blinded by their hate for the right and say, wait a second. This is bad, and this is bad for Kansas City, Missouri. How is this bad for Kansas City, Missouri? Well, if you have the voter ID law in Missouri, what if the NCAA decides to pull out of Kansas City and say, we're not going to have the tournament there. You have a voter ID law. Have you thought about that, Mayor Lucas? Have you thought about any corporations that say, can't go to Kansas City and have our convention there? They've got a voter ID law. These mayors in these cities should be speaking out against this move and saying, this is not right. Do not punish our city because of a state law. Don't take it out on us. I mean, the mayor of Atlanta should be outraged by this. You're punishing us when the state made a law. It's not right. Why would you punish the city of Atlanta over a state of Georgia law? They're so bad. The Democrats don't care what they do to your life. They don't care how much they hurt you. And they just keep getting away with it. And we see these companies jumping on board. Delta Airlines CEO, Coca-Cola CEO. Delta was okay with the voter ID law. They put out a press release that said, hey, we like the fact that this is now 17 days instead of whatever it was. They've expanded it. There are more drop boxes. There are drop boxes in every county in the state of Georgia now. We like some of the things they put in this law. We're happy with that. 3 days later, after the president starts talking about it, and the players' union president starts talking about moving the All-Star game, Delta's done a 180, and they now completely support the All-Star game not being in the city where their airline is based. It's insane. It's complete insanity. Politics don't belong in those things. They simply don't. Politics have weaved their way into everything. I get it. But they don't belong in Coca-Cola or Delta Airlines. Does Coca-Cola really want to pick and choose whether they want conservatives or liberals drinking their sodas? Do they really want to pick sides? What's the point in all this? I mean, seriously, what's the point in Major League Baseball requires an ID at the will call window, but they pull out of Atlanta, Georgia because of a state ID voter law. They do this the same week, Major League Baseball, the same week they sign a telecommunications deal with a company in China that's tied to the Communist Party to stream baseball games. So they sign a deal for money with communists in China to stream games, but strike down the All-Star game in Atlanta, Georgia, because there's a voter ID law on the books. You can't make this up. I mean, seriously, I'm thinking about renaming this podcast from Kevin Keatsman Has Issues to You Can't Make This Up. They sign a deal with a communist company in China to stream baseball games. The same week, they pull the All-Star game out of Atlanta because of a voter ID law. And yet, when people go to the All-Star game, wherever it is, wherever they're going to move it, it's easy for them, move it to New York if they want, which, by the way, their voter laws in New York are more strict than Georgia. They have fewer days of open voting or early voting than the state of Georgia. It's true. Where Major League Baseball is headquartered, the voter laws are more restrictive. They talk about voter access. That's not what this is about. This has nothing to do with access. This law in Georgia, what they're upset with is, if you're going to vote by mail, absentee ballot, we need your ID. We need to know that you are who you say you are. You can't go door to door in Georgia and say, hey, did you get a ballot in the mail? And people say, yep. They say, are you going to vote? Nope. Can I have your ballot? Yep. And they just take your ballot and fill it out for you. That's what's going on in Georgia. That's what went on in Pennsylvania. That's what went on in all these states because of COVID, which changed the world forever. I mean, my God. It's our fault. We rolled over and took it. We let them control the narrative. We let them control everything. We're still letting them do it. I took my mom to church on Sunday, and everybody had their mask on for the whole ceremony, a whole mass. Every other pew was open. They had outdoor services as well. It was a beautiful Easter day, but we're all sitting in there like, a guy sent me an email. I love this term. I'm going to start using it. They herd us in there like sheeple. And here come the sheeple to church, and we're going to wear our masks the whole time. All I wanted Father Greg to ask yesterday, I told my mom this, when he started the homily, I'm like, Mom, it would be so great as he greeted us on Easter. Show of hands, this is a wonderful turnout. They added extra services so everybody could go. You know, they were all filling up because you can only get half capacity at church, right? I just wanted Father Greg to say, show of hands, if you have, not kids, adults only, 21 and older, if you have not had COVID and you have not gotten a vaccine, please raise your hand. I would love to have heard that. And my mom says, I said, how many do you think would raise their hand, Mom? She goes, oh, I guess a whole bunch. I said, well, no, what about us? And she says, well, you've had it and I've got the shots. I said, exactly. I said, that's why people are at church. They're not afraid. But they herd you in like sheeple and we're all sitting there with our masks on and my glasses are fogging up. And I wasn't close to anyone. Like, they want you several feet apart, even in the pew that you're in. So the row in front of us was empty. The lady next to me was 4 or 5 feet down, maybe more, maybe six. And I'm sitting with my mom on the end. I'm like, why am I wearing this mask? It's insane. And folks, all it is now is theater. It's just, oh, you got to show that you care. You have to, it's for other people. It's ridiculous. I would have given anything to just be able to go up and say, you know, Father Greg, could I have 2 minutes? Before services start, just raise your hand. I'm just curious. It's a big church, Prince of Peace in Olathe, big church. Show of hands. If you have not had COVID and you have not been vaccinated, raise your hand. I don't think there would have been very many. I mean, seriously, maybe 10, 15, 20, maybe zero. Not very many, because anybody can get the vaccine. And so many people have had it. I really wanted to see that. And yet here we go. We just keep going and perpetuating this thing and onward and onward and onward. And baseball's right there. Because the second you bring something up, if you're liberal and it sounds like you care more and that there's so much hate and discrimination on the other side, whoop, it just becomes part of our culture. Oh, the Republicans in Georgia are filled with hate and racism. Of course they are. That's what they were thinking. Let's get together in the House. Let's get together and let's all caucus over here and let's figure out how we can screw over minorities, okay? Let's figure that out. Let's just be a racist group here and pass a bunch of stuff for racism. It's ridiculous. The voter ID law in Georgia is about absentee balloting. You don't have to give a reason. You don't have to say, I'm sick or old or I'm traveling. You don't even have to give a reason to vote absentee. Nothing. There's no reason. That was new on this. Don't give us a reason. We don't care. If you want to vote absentee, vote absentee. All we're going to do is ask you to identify yourself and sign it at the bottom that you've done that, punishable by law, that this is you. That's it. You don't have to leave your house. You don't have to leave your house. It's insane. Racist. And I've seen a lot of black conservatives on TV or writing columns or whatever, and they're more and more every day. And they're outraged by this stuff because their basic reaction is, you know, like Candace Owens, is like, she says, how dumb do you think black people are? What? It's so racist. The racist side is the liberals who think black people are too stupid or too poor to have an ID. My response to that is, aren't we all born with an ID? When you're born, don't they give you a social security number? All three of my kids got them when they were born. If you're born in America, don't you get a social security number? Yes, you do. You are born with an ID in this country. It's a number. That's what we are. 350 million of us. 350 million numbers. We're born with it. We're literally born with identification in this country. Why don't we do this? As much, you know, all this money we spend on stuff, this would be nothing. What would it cost? A dollar an ID? What would it cost? Would it cost more than $350 million to make brand new Social Security cards for everyone alive, okay, and with a photo or on it, and send them to every American? Every single one. You mail it out, just like the census, whatever. And it gets resubmitted. You can go take your photo. You can submit a photo. You can do whatever you got to do. Why not? Why wouldn't we just have our Social Security card on us? There it is. There's your ID. And everyone has one. And Candace Owens right. If you're sitting here as a liberal saying that you think black people, because they really say this is racist against blacks. They don't say it's racist against Latinos or against women or any other LGBT or any of that. No. It's just the black people. She's great. She's like, okay, let me get this straight. It's just the black people that are too stupid to have IDs or too poor. That's what the liberals are saying? They are so racist on that side. They really are. Their playbook is phenomenal, and I can't believe that it works with so many people. They just run around and accuse other people of what they are, and then people believe it because they just repeat it over and over and over. What could be more racist than saying producing an ID is racist? What could be more racist than that? You're basically saying that certain people aren't rich enough, smart enough, whatever, to have an ID in this country, in this day and age? You're kidding me. I mean, that really is racist. To sit there and say this is really bad for blacks is really a racist thing to say. At its core, I love her. I love what she says. She's like, don't insult me. This is so insulting to black people. When are we going to realize that they're the ones that see us as this block of really stupid, impoverished people that have no chance, and, oh, we're white or we're liberal, We're virtuous. We're going to help you. We're going to give you a hand up. We're going to take care of you because you can't take care of yourself. It's so insulting. And that's what this is. This is insulting. And then they take something like the voter ID law in Georgia and twist it into losing an all-star game, and Atlanta loses $100 million, and Mayor Quentin Lucas, who's had a life of privilege, by the way, and gone to an Ivy League school and is the mayor of Kansas City, much more privileged life than mine, probably yours, very privileged life he's led, good for him. He says, we'll take it in Kansas City. I'm like, no, you won't. There's a voter ID law here too. Lead, Mayor Lucas, lead. Some mayor needs to step up. Some liberal mayor needs to step up and lead and say, this is wrong. Don't punish our cities because of something a state did. And maybe that's where we're headed someday. Maybe these cities need to branch off from the states. I don't know, because the cities are all liberal and the states are all conservative, even California, New York, folks. This is really important. The cities in this country are all liberal, and the country, whatever we want to call that, the rural parts, non-city, the non-cities in America are all conservative. That really is our divide. That really is the divide in this country. And it's true everywhere, even in wildly liberal states like New York. You get outside of New York City, there's a lot of conservatism in the state of New York. Same thing in California. I read a story, this has been 5 or 6 years ago. It said if 4 miles of California fell into the sea, I know this is a dreadful thing to bring up, right? If like 4 miles from the coast fell into the ocean from an earthquake, right now I think California is 65-35 in a lot of the votes they have liberal. They said it would completely flip. If the first 4 miles of California fell into the ocean, it'd be 65% conservative Republican state. I mean, you can't, it's crazy what goes on with these things, but that's really what we are. And that's really where our divide is. And I don't understand why the mayors don't see it. And I don't know why the mayor of Atlanta hasn't gone nuts. I think they should just be going crazy in Atlanta saying, don't punish us. Why should Atlanta lose? Atlanta's the liberal part. So Joe Biden literally took $100 million away from one of the most liberal places in America, Atlanta, the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. They took $100 million out of the economy of the liberal hotspot of the state to what? Punish the Republicans? They didn't lose anything in Athens or any of these other towns around Georgia. Augusta, Georgia didn't miss anything. They're going to play the Masters this week. They don't care. They're on, man. They didn't stop on the Masters. It's so bad. They're so stupid. They're so stupid. They take $100 million from themselves. It's really amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And all this happens by an organization that requires you to show an ID to pick up tickets at a will call window. And they signed a new streaming deal with the communists in China this week. Unreal. Baseball season is off and running. Sunday night, the most interesting player in baseball played for the Angels, Shohei Ohtani. I don't know how closely you follow baseball, and I don't know how well talking about baseball on this podcast is going to work because it's a daily grind. I'm not going to inundate you with Royals and baseball every day. I'm not. There's plenty of other things. But this is amazing. If you missed this, Shohei Ohtani was the starting pitcher for the Angels. He also batted second. In the first inning, Sunday night, Shohei Ohtani took to the mound and threw the ball 101 miles an hour. Now, we're only 1 weekend into the season, right? That is the fastest pitch recorded by any pitcher in baseball this year. He stepped to the plate in the bottom of the first, batting second, and on the first pitch, hit a 452-foot home run that left his bat at 115.2 miles an hour. It is the hardest hit ball of the season. This man, in one inning, threw the hardest pitch and hit the hardest ball. This is unbelievable. When he's not pitching, Shohei Ohtani is the DH for the Angels. This guy's unbelievable. Now, he got hurt, right, real bad, and he's back from that. This guy's a freak, man. I mean a freak. He pitched 4 scoreless innings. He ran into some trouble in the fifth. They actually scored a couple runs off of him when he struck a guy out. Weird. Baseball's weird, right? If he comes to Kauffman Stadium this year, you got to go. If he's going to pitch, you got to go see him. There's no baseball player like him. We talk about two sports stars like Bo Jackson or Deion Sanders or things like that. Michael Jordan sort of gets in that conversation. We talk about two sports stars. This is better than that. This is better than that. If you are throwing the hardest pitch of the week and hitting the hardest ball of the week, you're a freak. That's crazy. Shohei Ohtani, I know you've heard of him, but you got to check him out. If he comes to Kauffman Stadium this year and is scheduled to start, you want to go watch him pitch and watch him hit. Absolutely amazing if you didn't catch it. You could see it on the internet. The highlights are all out there if you want to check it out. That's just, he was the first pitcher to bat second in a lineup since 1903. And the first pitcher to hit since 1976, really, like to be in the lineup, since the DH, which is pretty darn cool. So the Angels DH is a starting pitcher. That is amazing. At the same time, we have all this supposedly liberal stuff with baseball. I was on with Pete Mundo on Monday in the morning, on Monday morning, and I said, listen, I don't think the players' union is doing what their players want to do, and there may be some backlash here from the players. I think the Royals are fairly conservative. Well, I know the organization is. I think a lot of their players are. A lot of their players are. They don't care about the All-Star game being moved over voter ID law. I think the head of the players' union went out on his own on this thing, and he's going to get some blowback, some feedback from his players that they're unhappy, drawing unwanted attention to them. We're seeing more and more players now step up and do what the Mets' Michael Conforto has done, and he was asked this weekend, Conforto was, if he's getting the vaccine or has had the vaccine, now that it's available everywhere. And he told the reporters, that's my personal choice. I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing. And so the reporters picked up on that cue as I'm not getting the vaccine. And he continued and say, let me just say this. I'm thrilled there's a vaccine out there. It's everybody's personal choice to get it or not get it. I support their personal choice. By and large, I think it is good for baseball. It's good for our society. He had very thoughtful words and made it pretty clear. I'm not getting that vaccine. I'm 27 years old. I'm healthy as a horse. And I'm not worried about it. I don't want to put that in my body. I'm a professional athlete. I'm not putting that in my body. Basically what I heard him say, although he didn't say that. And I think there's a lot of that in baseball. A lot of it. And I'm glad that players are speaking up, reminding the media, this is a personal choice. This is what we need to do. Now, these guys that are going to do this, eventually they're going to get painted as one of two things. You know, the left really hates what they call them, vaxxers, anti-vaxxers. It's a very small number of people are just anti-vaccine anything. Like their kids are born, they don't want to get them the regular vaccines and any of that. That's not a big slice of our population. I don't think conservatives or Republicans that don't want to get the vaccine are anti-vaxxers. I think for the most part, they're just taking a wait-and-see approach. That's what I'm doing. I'm not anti-vaccine in any way. I love the vaccine. I'm glad it's here. Right now, for me, it's not for me. That's just me. I've had COVID. I know I've got antibodies. I don't need the vaccine right now. And there's a growing number of people out there in the scientific community that are saying we probably shouldn't be vaccinating people that have had it because we don't know the long-term effects of that. I said, that's all I need to hear. I'm going to wait it out until they know, until they see. And to be honest, it's got the mortality rate on this thing is pretty low compared to a lot of things. And with the number of people vaccinated, the number of people who have had it, we're reaching herd immunity. That's pretty obvious. And so I think it's overdone at this point. And so I may have to do it. I got a wedding. Our friends are getting married and it's out of the country and it's in June. And so, you know, I don't know if I have to get a vaccine passport card or go get the vaccine, we may have to make a difficult decision. I don't know what we'll do. These are not things we want to do, but we love them and we want to go to their wedding. I mean, so we have our life. We have to make our choices. I guess we'll have to make ours at that point. But interested to see the Mets' Michael Conforto saying, it's personal choice, none of your business. I ain't talking about that. We were brought to you by Fry Orthodontics with 12 locations in the Kansas City area. For you at Fry Ortho, your smile is just the start. How about this? Dr. Jeremy's implemented a new program, Free Retainers for Life. Okay, as a father of kids that had braces, they lose these. They lose them a lot. Every time you lose one, it's $300 to $500. Not at Fry Orthodontics. Free retainers for life. You lose your retainer, they get you another one. That's unbelievable. That's great. That's really great. If you stop the presses, if you know anybody with teenagers, tell them that. That will save them. I mean, each one of their kids is going to lose at least three retainers. That's going to save you a pile of money. Also, at Friar Orthodontics, they're offering Invisalign now for the same price as braces. Most places, it's $500 to $1,000 more for Invisalign versus braces. If you get Invisalign, it's now the same price. There's fewer appointments. There's less time missed, which means it's, you know, better for your schedule. And, you know, it's less painful, better hygiene, all those things. First appointment is free at Friar Orthodontics, online at friarorthodontics.com. Buck Roofing, online at rbuckroofing.com. I played a little golf this weekend. Ron gave me some golf balls. I was going to take a picture of one of them. It has his logo on it, sitting on the tee. I'll do that another time, I guess. It was nice of him to give me some golf balls. I did not hit them very well. In fact, this was maybe the worst golf I've played in years, Saturday and Sunday. I just had nothing. I mean, I had nothing. I got no confidence. I can't chip. I got like the yips with my wedge around the green. I gotta go practice, man. I just got to go practice. Maybe I'll practice with Ron. He's fun to golf with. He likes to play. He doesn't play very much. Very busy man. He's very hands-on with his company, and that's good for you as the customer. If you need a roof repair or a new roof, give Ron Buck a call. 384-2680. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. And, of course, Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, online at joslynsjewelry.com. The jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. Don't forget their upgrade program. If you buy diamond earrings or a diamond necklace or something like that at Joslyn's, you can bring it back 5 years later and say, we'd like to get a bigger one or upgrade it or do whatever. You get the full credit for the one you bought there. It's just full credit. What you paid is what it counts toward the new one. And so it's an upgrade program. It's great. We've done it several times with Jessica. She loves it. And they're awesome at Joslyn's Jewelry. So Bill Self got the lifetime contract. We didn't spend much time on this last week. I wrote the, if you're a patron, the newsletter came out on Saturday morning and we addressed some of this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on Bill Self's contract here, but I will say this. University of Kansas is just in a desperate situation. All right, this is the puppy that's been whacked with the newspaper a few too many times, right? That's where Kansas is right now. They have no athletic director, no football coach. Their chancellor, Dr. Doug Girard, I'm sure is a fine surgeon. He is not a good chancellor. He is so far in over his head when it comes to this stuff. He may be fine with academics. I don't want to misspeak here. I don't know anything about that world. What I know is what he's done in athletics is dreadful. All right, he's overseen a giant cheating scandal that's going to render a whole bunch of probation. He's pouring through football coaches in millions and millions of dollars like they're like money's going out of style. It's crazy what's going on. And now he signs Bill Self to a rollover lifetime deal, which I get it. You know, all they're doing here, Bill Self can't go to another college, right? So that for the first time in his tenure at Kansas, there is no threat that Bill Self is going to go anywhere else to coach in college. There wasn't much of a threat before. But it existed, like North Carolina came open. Would they want Bill Self? Well, they might, but not with the punishment he's going to be getting, because everybody in college basketball thinks he's getting a show cause or a personal suspension of maybe a year where he can't coach for a year. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff could come down the pike on Bill Self here. And what Kansas is saying with this contract is, please don't leave us for the NBA. When this gets bad, please don't leave us. We'll pay you all this money to sit here and not go to the tournament for 2 or 3 years, depending on what the probation is. We'll pay you all this money. Just please, please, please stay with us for the other side of probation. So in 2 or 3 years when it's over, please be our coach. It is so, so desperate by Kansas. God bless Bill Self, and I mean this in every way. Congratulations to him for this contract. Congratulations for hammering away and leveraging the daylights out of your bad situation you're in, and you're in a bad situation. If they get a long enough probation, not even the great Bill Self coaching is going to help them out. It's going to be impossible to get kids there, and it's going to be a rough go. If they're guilty of all 5 level 1 violations, they're getting a significant punishment, and not even Bill Self is going to coach them to 25 wins. So it's just going to be really, really hard. And they all know that. They're saying, please don't leave for the NBA. And then they put in this clause. This is the clause that was interesting. He gets half his pay when he's suspended, because there will be a suspension for Bill Self. We just don't know how long it's going to be. He's going to get half his pay while he's suspended. We'll pay you to not work. Sign this new deal. We're going to pay you to not work. Oh, and we can't fire you for the cheating you've already done. We can only fire you for any cheating you do in the future. We can't fire you for your past cheating. Only future cheating. But the one I love is the $2 million buyout of his contract to go to the NBA. So to me, this is the entire contract. The entire thing was about, please don't leave us for the NBA. And all KU got out of this was, if he leaves for the NBA, KU gets a $2 million check from the NBA team. Well, knowing that no college team can hire him, they can't because the punishment follows him wherever he goes. Knowing no college team will hire him, they put this in there for the NBA, and I'm like, just use Mark Cuban as an example. He's the most famous owner in the NBA. Mark Cuban wipes his nose with $2 million. I mean, that's nothing. If you're going to have an NBA buyout, Kansas is so bad at negotiating terms. They are so bad. I mean, they're paying Les Miles and Jeff Long all this money to be gone. They lead the league in paying people to not work. And now they've written a contract where we're going to pay Bill Self millions of dollars to not work. We know you're getting suspended, but we're still going to pay you. I mean, it's unbelievable what he got. And then if he really wanted to go to the NBA, do you think, let's just use Mark Cuban. If the Mavericks wanted to hire Bill Self, do you think Mark Cuban would even blink at a $10 million buyout? I mean, if it was $10 million, at least Kansas is like, okay, now we're flush with cash. It's a $2 million buyout. There's no NBA team going to blink at that. Those things are normally put in contracts as a deterrent. You make the number big enough to where the entity that wants to hire your coach doesn't want to hire your coach. A lot of Kansas State fans were talking about Brad Underwood after this year. Hey, should we get rid of Bruce Weber and bring in Brad Underwood? Well, it's going to cost him like $7 million to buy this thing out and pay off Bruce Weber this year. Next year, it's down to like 2.6 or something. So there was a built-in deterrent. Kansas State was never going to have the money to do that at this time. They were never going to have the money to do that. It's all about that. Do you think an NBA team cares about paying $2 million to Kansas to steal their coach away? That's nothing. That was the most shocking part of the contract to me was, because to me, it's all designed to say, please don't leave us for the NBA. Please don't leave us. We will pay you to sit here and be on probation if you just coach us through the other side. Please, please, please. We're desperate. Don't leave us now. And they tried to get something to keep him from going to the NBA, and they just couldn't pull it off, could they? I'm not surprised. It will be interesting when this punishment comes out to see if Doug Girard, the chancellor, gets fired. Because that's what happened at Louisville. In Louisville, Patino got in trouble first for all the cheating. And then the Board of Regents circled back on the chancellor and whacked him too. And if this punishment is harsh enough, and we expect it maybe by the end of summer, midsummer, end of summer, if it's harsh enough, the Board of Regents may decide to get rid of Doug Girard, the president, who is not very good at athletics. God bless him, but I know he's a wonderful man who's helped all kinds of people as a doctor. I'm not trying to disparage. It's just being a surgeon and understanding how to run athletics in college are two different things, two different entities entirely. It is Masters Week. I'm very excited about that. I love the Masters. And I don't know how much you follow golf or even care, but there's a player named Jordan Spieth who a few years ago went on one of the greatest early career tears of any golfer in history. He won 11 tournaments in like 3 years or something, including a bunch of majors. In fact, the last major he won was the British Open. I still call it the British Open. It's the Open Championship. But I call it the British Open. And he won that. That was 2017. That was the last tournament he won. Something bad happened to Jordan Spieth. He went to Augusta and after winning the Masters the year before, had a big lead on the back nine and plunked a couple balls in the water on number 12. And it doesn't seem like his career has ever really rebounded from that. It's just been a lack of confidence, certainly not a lack of talent. This was the next big thing. And he's probably already a World Golf Hall of Famer just by the number of majors and wins that he has. But he's gone almost 4 years without a win. And he won the Texas Open this weekend in San Antonio by 2 shots. He's been playing great since February. He's been in the top five at pretty much every event, but he has stumbled on Sunday. He's had the lead after 3 rounds and hasn't won. And again, you're thinking, well, he just doesn't have it between the ears. He talks a lot on the golf course. He seems to contradict himself and get confused on what club to hit. Sometimes it's a little hard to watch, but I like Jordan Spieth. I like him. I think he's good for golf. I think he's a good person. I think he means well, and I think he has great ability. He said yesterday that he had a happiness or a like, he liked how he felt yesterday. going into the round. He didn't feel the pressure of winning. He wasn't nervous, you know, all that stuff. He found something, and he played better on Sunday than he had on other Sundays the last couple of months, and he won the tournament. Golf is a better sport if Jordan Spieth is playing well. It's also a better sport if Rory McIlroy is playing well, and he has not been playing well. They need these stars of the game to play well. Tiger's gone. The Tiger era is over, right? So that's done. They need the stars of the game to play at a really high level, and the Masters almost always brings that out. My favorite 2 hours of sports television all year is the back nine of the Masters on Sunday. I don't ever remember being disappointed watching the back nine at the Masters. I'm sure it's happened, but I don't remember it. And it doesn't matter. Somebody can make the turn with a 3-shot lead, you're still going to be biting your fingernails. Something crazy is going to happen on the back nine on Sunday at Augusta. I love the Masters. They're going to have fans. It's going to be just like it always is. They're in Georgia, where apparently the PGA Tour, which is not affiliated with this event, is not attempting to have sponsors boycott the Masters this week. But good for Jordan Spieth. He's now like the third or fourth favorite this week, which is a little high to me. I'm not sure he's going to have it at the Masters. We'll see. But he is playing well, no doubt about that. And golf is better because of it. I think that's pretty cool. Kansas City's Jason Sudeikis won a big Hollywood award last night. What was the Screen Actors Guild? Is that what it was? I don't know. And he apparently his show is about a guy from Kansas who doesn't know that much about soccer but winds up in England and is a soccer coach. And it's very funny, and I hear a lot of people talking about it. I think it's on Apple Plus, which I don't have. I mean, how many streaming services you got to have to see all these shows? Whew. So I don't have it. I haven't seen it, but everybody says he's really funny and it's really good. He's clearly just a ridiculously talented guy. And I wish I could see the show. I'd like to watch it, but I don't want to do the Apple streaming thing, I don't think. Maybe at some point I will. I don't know. So he's accepting the award last night, and he's kind of known for being on award shows, a different kind of guy. He wore a hoodie one time. Last night he had a sweater on. He thanked all kinds of people from his Kansas City, for his parents. His dad took him to movies. My mom took me to the theater. I've told you the great story about the letter that he sent to Todd Lebo after he came and visited Channel 4 on what we called the prep cam. They brought the high school radio and TV people in. And we showed him how we put together a newscast and stuff. And he wrote a nice letter and sent it off to Todd Lebo. He still has it, Jason Sudeikis, because Lebo kept everything through the years. That's kind of a cool letter. I probably got one too and tossed it, to be honest. So, oh well. But he's on there. He's accepting the award, and he had a sweater on that said, "My body, my choice." Honestly, because he's a comedian, I didn't know if he was serious or was poking fun at it all, making fun of politics. I honestly don't know. But I should know because it's Hollywood, and I don't think you joke about stuff like that. Then I read the sweater that he was wearing was a Gucci sweater that costs $1,100 before tax. So he lives in California. He got about $1,300 in a sweater. Hey, I'm all for people having great careers, getting rich, having all the money they can make. And he's wildly talented and funny and entertaining, and I like him a lot. How much money would you have to spend $1,100 on a sweater? I think that's just a serious question. Would you ever get to the point, I mean, if you had... Well, what's the threshold where it's just comfortable to spend that? And maybe it's the way you were raised. I don't know. His upbringing couldn't have been that much different than mine. He's younger than I am, but it couldn't have been that much different. So I just, at what point in your life does the light bulb come on and you say, yeah, I'm gonna buy this $1,100 sweater here? I'm not sure I know what that threshold is. I mean, what would your net worth be? 10 million, 20 million where you're dropping that kind of money? I'm not saying he can't afford it, and I'm not saying people don't do it. They clearly do. The sweater clearly is not worth $1,100, even though Gucci makes it. I just don't understand some of this stuff. I'd almost feel bad, like I could buy a $100 sweater and donate $1,000 to charity. And I'm sure he donates all kinds of money to charity. That's not what this is about. And it's not about Jason Sudeikis. I've seen this with ballplayers my whole life, too. I just wonder at what point, to be honest, I could afford a lot more expensive car than I drive. I drive a 6-year-old car. It's not some badge of honor or anything. It's just like, I just ordered a new Chevy Blazer. Roberts Robinson's a great sponsor of this podcast. And Mike's becoming a friend. And I just believe in the way they do business. And I should be driving one of their cars. He advertises on my podcast. I should be driving his car. Perfect time for me to get a new car. I'm getting a Chevy Blazer. I could go in there and buy one of the Sierra Denali trucks, I guess, and drop 80 grand or whatever they are. There are all kinds of things you can get. I don't know where your $1,100 for a sweater. And really, you can only wear it once. That's the problem with that sweater. He wore it. It's on TV. Maybe he auctions it off now and gets more, and it goes to charity. That'd be great. He probably does. I just am wondering, where are you getting your life? I've met a lot of rich people, a lot of really rich people, most of them athletes, but a lot of people outside of that in business. Generally speaking, the athletes are not frugal. They spend their money, and they've got crazy watches and stuff that they wear. You can see where they spend it. Most people that I've met in business that have a lot of money, you'd never know it. You'd never know it. And maybe that's how they got where they are. I don't know. But it's also one of the great things about America. You get to live the way you want to live. I don't think if I won Powerball, I'd be buying $1,100 sweaters that say "My Body, My Choice." I don't think I would. But he's a talented guy, and he won the award. He thanked his mom and dad and thanked Kansas City. And apparently that show, Ted Lasso, is that the name of it? Apparently that show is all about a guy from Kansas who's coaching a soccer team in England. So good stuff. Congratulations to Jason Sudeikis. This segment was really not about him. And he's got every right for his political stance. I'm not going to sit here and try to, do a podcast on abortion and go down that road right now. So he's got every right to do what it is that he did. To me, having a position as a liberal on something like that or something else, while I don't agree with it or respect even the intellectual thinking of that, I believe in their right to express their opinion. To me, that's better than this ridiculous circus act stuff of trying to cancel all-star games over voter ID laws. That's just petty and hypocritical and stupid. That's the stuff that really bothers me about liberalism. If you got something you really believe in, go knock yourself out. I'm good with you. I'm not going to change your mind. But don't be messing in our world. Don't be messing with us. Don't be messing with the all-star game in Atlanta over a voter ID law that you know is not racist. That's the ridiculous part of all this stuff. That's it for this edition of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. As always, thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to become a patron, go to kkhasissues.com and hit the patron button. Sign up for as little as $5 a month. Or just do me a favor, hit the follow, like, or subscribe button wherever you listen to the podcast. That's free. I think Apple's getting rid of the term subscribe because people think that means money. It's just a follow or like button. You'll get notifications when there's a podcast. It helps a lot. We're at 5,000 folks right now. That's a good start. My goal is 10. So let's keep going. Spread the word and see how many people we can get to know about the podcast each day. I love it when you tell people about Kevin Keatsman Has Issues and have them hit that follow or like or subscribe button. It's absolutely free and it helps a lot. Spread the word and make a difference, which is what we're trying to do every day at KKHI.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.